Welcome back to this special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. I'm Tom Lyons. Tomorrow morning, Justice and Drew will be back. Andrew, John, and Miss Sam will take over the show on tomorrow, but they always give it to us on Memorial Day, and we have a special co-host this hour who is retired Colonel Larry Herkey, who was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019. He's charged with assisting Minnesota's 327,000 veterans and their families and has oversight of Minnesota's five state veterans homes and all of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs and services. And there's a long list of those. But Commissioner Herkey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be with you here this morning.
Commissioner, we're going to try to cover a lot of things this morning. Later in the hour, we're going to have guests on from some of your veteran service organizations, which are part of the Commander's Task Force. So we'll have on the DAV of Minnesota, the VFW, and the Marine Corps League. But first, I want to start out with you've got quite a position over there, 327,000 veterans and their families, all those homes, programs, services. It's a big job, sir.
Yeah, it's been awesome just to go through and be able to be with staffs and go through the different parts of the operation, learn more about all the things we do every day. It's extraordinary, the programs and services that we provide throughout all of Minnesota. And then I spent quite a bit of time with the five veterans homes also.
And sir, you're a retired colonel, so you spent quite a few years in the military.
I spent just over 30 years in the military. Had a lot of different opportunities there to do things and deployed to Iraq for the long tour with the 1st Brigade and got a chance at the end to do some work in with the armories and so forth throughout Minnesota.
And Commissioner, we've been talking about this morning the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and can you tell us what those differences mean to you?
Well, it's clear to me, but I think some other generation, some younger folks especially, have a challenge, you know, what is the difference? People across Minnesota here are preparing to celebrate Memorial Day, but unlike Veterans Day, which honors all U.S. military veterans, Memorial Day is set aside specifically to honor those who have died in service to their country. The meaning of these two days is often confused. However, the difference is that both days honor veterans. Memorial Day, though, is to honor and remember those who have sacrificed and have died in service to their country, particularly those who have died in U.S. Wars or conflicts. Veterans Day, in comparison, is to honor all veterans for the service in wartime and peacetime, both living and dead.
And Commissioner, on a day like today, Memorial Day, I think of some very special friends, some comrades that I lost in Vietnam because I'm a Vietnam veteran. But is there someone or something special you think about from your military career or your family?
I think, you know, we were comparing some lists here this morning. The thing that comes to my mind is writing the letters to the families. I was the executive officer for the 1st Brigade during our deployment. I helped the commander with, I believe it was 21 letters, not all Minnesotans, but people that served with us both on active duty and from other states and other locations. I think those times and going to those memorial services in country are probably some of the most times that I can think of that really bring back the meaning of Memorial Day and how that's important to, I think, not only the families of those who have lost, but I think all of us need to take time just to reflect on the importance of what these fallen heroes have done for us.
Sir, that must have been difficult. There can't be any more important or more difficult letter to write than a letter to a family when you've lost one of your troops.
Yeah, it's difficult to put in words everything that a person meant and everything that they did for their unit and so forth. And for each one of the letters, we wanted to make sure they were personalized and they had information that the families would find comfort in. And but it was a difficult task and one that was sombering every time I had to do it.
Yeah, Commissioner, we've had on the show many times the Blue Star Mothers, and you know, all the mothers are happy to be Blue Star Mothers and support their troops, and they're gone and so forth. But when on Memorial Day we're honoring those men and women who've died while serving the United States Armed Forces, no one wants to become a Gold Star family. Can you explain Gold Star family, sir?
Yeah, unlike the Blue Star where you have a serving service member, the Gold Star family is distinguishes a family member who has lost a loved one in military service. Today, immediate family members, that could be parents, sibling, spouse, or child, receive a gold star from the Department of Defense to honor those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. No one has given more to our nation than the families of the fallen, and nothing can erase a family's pain when losing a loved one. But in an effort to help ease the family's burden, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs offers a Gold Star Family Program. And I'm pretty proud of this program. Our program provides Gold Star families a program to honor the legacy of their every fallen Minnesota hero while supporting the needs of their families. The Gold Star Family Services include support, benefit, and resources. And I'd like to say, if you've lost a family member in military service, help us to honor them by helping you. You can reach out to our Gold Star Family Program staff by phoning them at 612-970-5662, or you can visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Commissioner, we've been honored to be able to join you in the past when the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs brought together the Gold Star families for a weekend. And what we learned were a couple of things. Number one, they want to talk about their loved one who they lost as if they're still here. And they want to tell the story. And we found it very difficult to ask the question. And they just said, ask us about him. We're happy to tell you about him. And the other thing that we learned was when we get those Gold Star families together, they've gone through a terrible experience, but it's something they share. And when they get together, it's heartwarming to see them because they give each other so much support. It's incredible. And we had the opportunity to interview about 10 of those Gold Star families and put together a whole show on it a couple of years ago. And it was, you know, it was exhausting because we didn't want to hurt anybody, but they wanted to tell the stories. And that's the important thing that we learned, sir.
I think the stories, and then always, having share what they remember about the service of the individual and their service to their country.
Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have on, we're going to be joined by Trent Dilks, who's the Department Adjutant of the DOV of Minnesota. This is our special Memorial Day broadcast brought to you by Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and this is our special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you by Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My co-host this hour is Larry Herkey, who is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, we've got a special guest coming on in a moment. There's an organization called the Commander's Task Force that's made up of the commanders of the 9 federally certified veteran service organizations, and they serve as something like your board of directors, don't they?
That's correct, Tom. They have an opportunity to meet monthly, and the outcomes of their meetings many times help direct the activities that I'll do going forward.
And the state legislature just finished up with their session, and we had a day up there, Veterans Day on the Hill, which was a pretty incredible day. Veterans came in from all over the state, and there were some they were to talk about some of the priorities that the Commander's Task Force put together as far as legislation we're working on this year, including helping getting your budget passed.
Correct. That's been a challenge here for the last couple months. We've been working on the testimony as it relates to the agency budget, but that's all behind us now, and we're ready to go for the next 2 years.
And Commissioner, joining us now is from the DAV, the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, is the Department Adjutant, Trent Dilks. Trent, good morning. Do we have him with us, Zach? Is Trent on the line? No, we're going to have to find him, Commissioner. We lost
Trent. Adjutant.
But he'll be back in a moment. The DAV of Minnesota... Are we here?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
There he is. Good morning, Trent. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. I'm here with your commissioner, Larry Herkey, on Memorial Day. And we're just going to start talking about the DAV of Minnesota, one of the busiest veteran service organizations around.
You know, we try to keep busy, and with wrapping up the legislative session and getting some of our goals accomplished, we're glad to check that off the list and continue moving forward on some of the other stuff we do.
You know, on our show that just played last weekend, we had Director Pat Kelly on the show for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, and he was talking about how important it is that all the work that you're doing to help get our veterans to their medical appointments with your van program.
Yeah, we've got a robust transportation program, actually number one in the nation, which is pretty amazing considering we only have two VA medical centers here. But we're up to 36 vans in the state of Minnesota, 250 volunteer drivers. We drove about 1.6 million miles last year, bringing in over 28,000 veteran transports, all for free, on all for our veterans here in Minnesota.
Trent, what do you, this is Commissioner Herkey, what do you, what made you so successful and the most successful transportation service statewide throughout the nation? What's the secret to your success?
Well, you know, we try to run an extremely professional program. We get a lot of support that allows us to have five full-time regional coordinators to be there to help our veterans. They serve in a larger role than just transportation, but they really focus in on that. And the absolute key to success is the volunteers. Without them, we don't drive anywhere. We don't get any of our veterans in. And Minnesota has just, we've actually been interviewed to find out how we do it. And it always comes back to the amazing volunteers and the people who go and fight the metro traffic for us from rush hour to rush hour. And do it for free and do it because that's how they want to give back to our veterans.
And Trent, you raise the funds to put the vans in service, but all your drivers are volunteer drivers. And who's eligible to volunteer to drive?
You know, our volunteer drivers, we've got, they really run the range from, we've got a police officer there in the metro who has a shift that gives him some weekdays off. So he comes in and gives a few hours of his, 4 hours of his day off. Mostly retired, and they're either volunteering one day a week, one day a month, as needed. Really, it's a relatively clean driving record and the ability to pass a physical just to make sure we're safe and taking care of our veterans out there on the road.
So if anyone of our listeners are interested, they can go to davmn.org and find out more information on how to volunteer.
Absolutely. We're always looking for more. And I tell you that the demand is high. The number one barrier between veterans getting the care they need is transportation. And whether it's the metro or greater Minnesota, where we've got 28 of our van stations, there's a high demand. And we're currently looking at four more locations that need our services and trying to expand even larger to help more veterans.
Trent, I think one of the keys to your success is you work closely with your county veteran service officers.
Absolutely. To really find out what's needed, and we try to fill gaps in services, and to find out what those are, you need somebody on the ground doing the work, the day-to-day work of working with their local veterans, and there's nobody better than that than the CVSOs here in Minnesota.
We're speaking with Trent Dilks, the Department Adjutant for the DAV of Minnesota, and we have, of course, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Herkey, here. Trent, can you tell us the legislative session is just closed? What happened up there for veterans this year?
Oh, I am so happy to finally get to say it. I've been working on it for the last 5 years with the DAV. We've been working with the CTF, all the service organizations. This year, the tax bill had the elimination of the 8-year limit on surviving spouses staying in their homes and getting the property tax value exclusion. And after years of fighting for it, it looks like this year we finally got it done. It's in the tax bill. We anticipate the governor will sign it here, and we'll get that, and they can stay in their homes. And that was really a good moment to finally have that done.
So just so we understand that, if a veteran dies and if the veteran had some type of real estate tax exclusion, current law said that their surviving spouse would keep that, but only for 8 years. And at the end of 8 years, they didn't get a raise, that's for sure, and it went away. And now this legislation that's coming through is to continue that indefinitely?
Yes. And it's so those who die in service as a result of their service, so if they had a service-connected condition, and those who were severely disabled as a result of their service, their surviving spouses. We did get a law change a couple years ago that added even more of those, but then they had 8 years. And at the same time, they saw a 55% reduction in the benefits they got. So their veteran passed away. Many of them left work to become uncompensated caregivers. One that I was working with who was on her eighth year, I got to meet with her Saturday and give her the good news. She was going to lose her home. She had spent 20 years as an uncompensated caregiver for her Vietnam veteran spouse. He passed away, and she was facing the reality she was going to have to leave her home. So we were glad to get that done for these surviving spouses.
Trent, we've just got about a minute left. Any other legislation passed this year?
You know, there was. We're glad to see the budget come through. There's some other changes to the property tax value exclusion, and we'll see what else is in there directly and indirectly as the days go on. But it was a good session for us, and that was the number one priority for the Veteran Service Organization. So,
great work, Trent.
That was a big win.
About 30 seconds left. Who do you think about on Memorial Day?
You know, I think about the people I served with. We lost some while I was over there, and I think about the ones who came home and understanding how difficult of a weekend this can be for them. And my thoughts are with them and the families of our fallen.
Trent, thanks for calling in. Keep up your programs, taking our veterans to the to their medical appointments, and please keep up all those events where you get our veterans out in the fresh air, hunting and fishing, and I think it's really important to our disabled veterans to get out there and do that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Trent.
When we come back, we're going to talk to the VFW and a little bit later the Marine Corps League with my co-host, Commissioner Larry Herkey. This is our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Jason Lewis here. Join.
But that's.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. This is our special Memorial Day broadcast, brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. Justice and Drew will be back tomorrow morning. Andrew, John, and Miss Sam be ready for you to get back to their activity. But today we're talking about Memorial Day, and my co-host this hour is Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, we started talking about the Commander's Task Force and how they serve as your board of directors, if you will. And we've heard from the DAV of Minnesota, and we've got another special guest joining us now, who is the commander of the Minnesota Department of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW, Tom Hansen. Tom, good morning.
Morning, Tom.
Thanks for calling in on Memorial Day. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Doing real well. And we've got Commissioner Herkey right here. And we just wanted to ask you some questions. What do you think about on Memorial Day, and what kind of traditions do you carry out?
Well, I reflect oftentimes on my youth, I guess. My dad, as you know, Tom, is a past state commander of the VFW as well. And as a child, I recall going out to, with my dad to decorate the graves on Memorial Day. And, so it's something that's been kind of a tradition for me, even as a child. And when I was shortly out of the military, we oftentimes went on the Memorial Day treks with the service organizations as well. So I've got a long history, I guess, of Memorial Day memories, if you will.
And Tom, you served in the Army in 70 to 72, and are a fellow Vietnam veteran. When Memorial Day comes around, I think a lot about the wall out in Washington, D.C., and our buddies who didn't come home.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Tom. I think that as a matter of fact, I was reflecting yesterday on the Rolling Thunder and how many Vietnam veterans returned to the Vietnam Memorial on Memorial Day. It's just a special day for all of us, I think, who served in the military.
Tom, this is Commissioner Herkey. I'm wearing my poppy today. Could you tell the listeners what the significance of that is?
Well, yeah, it's, as you, I'm sure everybody is aware, the Veterans Service Organizations, most especially the American Legion and the VFW, distribute poppies on an annual basis. And the significance essentially came about in back in the early 1900s. An individual wrote a poem called In Flanders Field that dealt with the poppies and the significance of the poppies mostly during the First World War, and it's kind of a tradition that the service organizations have carried on, the significance being that that is a remembrance of the war dead, and it's kind of a tradition that we really, as a service organization, that's our symbol, is a poppy.
We're speaking with Tom Hassan, the Department of Minnesota VFW commander, and we have Larry Herkey, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, in the studio with us today. And Tom, I know you've got some interesting facts about the Tomb of the Unknowns in Washington, D.C. Do you want to share those with us?
Well, you know, just simply, you know, it's kind of the traditions of the tomb are so special, you know, that the one significant aspect of the tomb was that, you know, they had laid an unknown soldier from the First World War in the tomb originally. Then in like 1958, they added an unknown from the Second World War and the Korean War. And then in 1984, they put some bones from an unknown Vietnam veteran in the tomb. And 14 years later, they disinterred those Vietnam remains simply because there was an outcry for DNA testing, and sure enough, they found that the Vietnam individual was an Air Force pilot that crashed in 1972 in Vietnam. So they had identified him through the DNA testing, and so the individual was exhumed, and to this day, essentially, there is not an individual from Vietnam or any time after that.
And the good news is we've been able to identify him, so we don't have an unknown put in there.
Yeah.
Tom, while you're on the line, we found a poem a couple of years back about the Tomb of the Unknown, and we want to play that for you now. Zach, are you ready with that?
Sure am.
Steps by Thomas Holmquist. Arlington, where our unknown soldier lies, the place to honor those who gave their lives. Those that died, the generations be free. May we remember them through eternity. This unknown soldier guarded day and night by the choice of a few with all their might to show mankind their respect and dignity to those who defended our lives and liberty. 21 steps, he takes 21 steps, eyes locked in honor for the soldier he guards, and 21 seconds before he turns to honor the soldiers who never return. 21 steps until the end of time for our lost soldiers we cannot find. They gave their lives for you and me, the price paid to preserve our dignity. So let's take 21 steps, just 21 steps. Lock our eyes in honor for our soldiers that died, and think for 21 seconds about the sacrifice to preserve our freedom and our children's lives.
Commissioner, that poem kind of explains the importance of the soldiers that the old guard that are on duty day and night at the Tomb of the Unknown. It's a sacred place and one of my favorite places in the world.
Yeah, it's a very solemn location, and if you've ever been there, it's perfection, just down to every detail that goes on there. It's quite extraordinary, and most people don't know, but the old guard actually came from Minnesota. It was its last posting prior to going to Washington, D.C. It was here at Fort Snelling, Minnesota.
Commander Hansen, I think you know the answer to this question. What's inscribed on the Tomb of the Unknown?
Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God.
That kind of sums it up and says it all, doesn't it?
Well, it really does.
Commander, I appreciate your calling in and sharing some thoughts with us on Memorial Day.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's a special day for all of us, and my best wishes is to everyone out there. And, you know, the reality is that this is a day to remember those that didn't make it home, and to bless the families that miss their loved ones.
Well spoken, Tom. Thanks for calling in.
Have a good day, sir.
You too. Commissioner, you've got quite a board of directors there. We're going to talk to another one soon, but you've got the Purple Hearts in there. You've got the disabled veterans. You've got the paralyzed veterans. They're quite a group of very caring individuals that want to help other veterans.
It's been a unique opportunity for me to get around to each one of the organizations and find out more about their mission. And each one of them is just a little bit different, the way they go about it. But they're all working for veterans overall.
And they're never done.
They are never done.
I think that was that oath of enlistment, sir. They gave us an oath, and we promised to serve, and nobody's ever let us out of the oath, so we just keep moving.
Just keep moving.
Commissioner, we have to take another short break, and we come back, and we're going to hear from the Commandant of the Marine Corps League, which should be pretty interesting. This is our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This is our special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My co-host today has been Larry Herkey, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And on the line with us now is the State Commandant from the Marine Corps League, Doug Anderson. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
We played a little music there for you just to make sure that you're awake and ready to go.
Well, I was standing at attention, so just to make sure all my Marines know that. So when the hymn comes on, that's what we do.
There you go. Well, you can relax for a few minutes now, except that Commissioner Herkey's here, too, so maybe you should just stand at attention while you're talking to us.
Will do.
Say, this is Memorial Day, and we want to start out with your reflections on the day.
Well, you know, it's kind of... One of the things that I wish people would remember is that this day is not about the living. This is about the people that have come before us and remember their sacrifice and their service to our country. You know, it's very humble to go out to Fort Snelling or any of the state cemeteries today and walk around. I have a few people that I put flags on or make sure the flags are on their graves out at Fort Snelling. And my father-in-law, I was down at his grave on Saturday. He served in Korea in 1953, and he was one of the first of the 1st Marine DMZ Company in right after the ceasefire took effect over there. So it's kind of humble. We lost him about 9 years ago, and he was a very, very interesting Marine, and some of his stories he had for me were very interesting also. And I also have friends of mine that I remember from that have come before me that have passed away, some by suicide, unfortunately. But then I also have the Beirut era Marines that are buried out in Fort Snelling that I always remember too.
Commandant, one of the things we want to be careful about and is to notice that if any of our veterans have a change in their personality, if they become depressed, if they're acting different, we should ask them, what are you thinking about? Because the Minneapolis VA hospital, the VA knows how to help. And if they're thinking about suicide, if they're having depression, if they're having trouble with post-traumatic stress, reach out, ask your veterans, and then get them to the Minneapolis VA. It's very important.
Yes, it's very important that you do that. One of the things that I've learned over the years and taking a few classes is when you talk to them, it's not how do you feel, is what does it look like to you? And that'll give you a lot of hint as far as what they're feeling and, you know, encourage them to get that help. I've been involved with a couple of them already. Thank God they're still alive and they've gotten the help. But I think a lot of them also don't understand that there is help out there, or they're too proud to go get that help, you know, and the VA can help you. They're great at it. You know, I wish more people would utilize that, but also, you know, the VA has got to understand that there's a lot of them out there and that need that help right away. So,
well, the VA needs our help, and it's hard to ask that question if you're thinking about suicide, but it's even harder if they do it and you didn't ask the question. So let's keep that in mind. Let's try to help them. Let's try to slow that down. And Commandant, I know the commissioner's here, and he's got some questions for you as well.
I was just wondering, Commandant, good morning, and I just wanted to know if you could remind the audience what happened on October 23rd, 1983.
So on October 23rd, 1983, we lost 241 military men over in Beirut, Lebanon, when the embassy was bombed. At the time, that was the time period I was in, and I was actually in Iwakuni, Japan at the time, heading toward the USS Midway. We were about to deploy out. And, you know, it's amazing that when I go out to Fort Snelling every year on that date to help the Patriot Guard remember those Marines out there that, you know, served in Beirut, is that a lot of people forget about that day. And, you know, I don't want people to forget about that day. That was a tragic day for the Marines, and we lost 222 of our own Marines out there. And, you know, it's just not, oh, it happened and it's done with. It's something that took place. We need to remember those Marines, especially the Marines that are buried at Snelling and the Marines that were from Minnesota. It's amazing to me when I ask people that, and they just kind of look at you like, oh, you know, Halloween's coming up. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, something happened on this day, so let's not forget about that.
Commandant, Memorial Day goes back to what was called Decoration Day way back when. And there was a speech that General John A. Logan gave. He was the commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. And he was talking, he was at the cemetery at Arlington, honoring 20,000 soldiers who were buried there from the First War. And here's what he had to say. We do not know one promise these men made, one pledge they gave, one word they spoke. But we do know that they summed up and perfected, by one supreme act, the highest virtues of men and citizens. For love of country, they accepted death and thus resolved all doubts and made immortal their patriotism and their virtue. And as long ago as he said that, it applies to all of those Marines we lost in 1983 and all of the men and women who have died serving in the United States Armed Forces.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference, you know, when you served or when they passed away. But, you know, they all served. They all raised that right hand. You know, a lot of them knew that something, you know, there's a good chance they'd never come back. But it's that type of patriotism or that type of attitude that we really need, is that there's a price to pay for it, unfortunately, but we have to have people willing to pay that price. And it gets very hard when you talk to people and they just don't understand the sacrifices that have been made to keep this country free and keep people letting, you know, like your program, freedom of speech and freedom of expression. That price has been paid in a heavy way, and I don't want people to ever forget that.
Very good, Commandant. Thanks for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was the Commandant of the Marine Corps League, Doug Anderson. Commissioner, despite the fact that we lose some people in combat and we lose some people that serve in the military, our young people still raise their hand and they still sign up and they still join, and we've got some fabulous young people that join the military year after year after year.
I think patriotism is strong in the United States. I believe the talent, there's a lot of talent out there that I've seen come through the military recently, very young individuals that are willing to serve and continue to serve their nation.
And Commissioner, one of the things you're charged with as Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is taking care of our veterans in the five veterans homes, and we're going to build a few new ones.
Tom, it's my goal during my tenure here to get the three additional veterans homes online. We're looking at veterans homes in Preston, Bemidji, and Montevideo, and we've worked with those three communities. We just recently completed our schematic design for those homes, and we've briefed the communities. They're very excited about what's going to happen here in the future as far as those homes. We've submitted our packets to Washington, D.C., and I plan to go out there in June to do a follow-up on that, just to ensure that everyone knows that Minnesota is ready to receive the matching funds to the state funding that's already been provided.
Commissioner, we're very fortunate, I think, that you spent the last part of your career in the Minnesota National Guard as a facilities manager, building facilities and remodeling and doing all kinds of things. And now as commissioner Right out of the gate, you've got three new homes to build.
It's exciting, Tom. The three new homes, and then working. I've had a chance to go through the other homes and get an assessment done. That, along with our annual facility condition assessments, I think I have a good understanding where we're at and what's needed going forward.
And of course, there's the number changes all the time, but 375,000 veterans and their families to take care of. There's a lot of work to do over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
There is. Our program and services folks are very busy with programs in many different areas. Everything from women's veterans programs to we talked about the Gold Star program, and then of course our work and assistance as it relates to the. People have put forward their packets for veterans assistance overall.
And Commissioner, those three new homes are out there partially because we want to have those veterans' homes closer to where the veterans lived so their families can come visit.
What we find is about an hour and a half is about the farthest we normally will have a family member go to actually see their loved one or their veterans. So it's good that we're sort of filling in some of those blank parts of the state. And now we'll have a lot more options for veterans' families going forward.
And, sir, one other thing that I know you're working on, we've built a couple of new state cemeteries over the last few years, and there's another one coming up.
That's right. We've always had the Little Falls Cemetery and Preston Cemeteries come online. It's really taking off. Duluth, we're going to be doing the ribbon cutting here in September. So, but it's open and open for business, and we're looking for the last cemetery in Redwood County. And worked with the folks down there, and again, going to Washington, D.C. to see if we can get that moved along.
Sir, just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts on Memorial Day?
Well, I remember when I was a child, and we went out with my parents, and as a young child, you don't know exactly what's going on, but I knew that I had to carry the flowers and so forth. As I got to be a little older, I got to put some flags on bronze markers, and that still sticks with me as one of the most important things, and my mom said I used to salute the flag after we would put them on. So I guess I was destined to be in the military from a young age.
But it started early, sir.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us today, Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's a great honor to be with you here today.
Coming up yet on the show in our third hour, my co-host is going to be Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. We're going to have the opportunity to talk to Governor Tim Walz, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Representative Tom Emmer, as well as hearing about how the latest trip went. I think the Adjutant General just got back from Kuwait, and so we'll learn all about that. This is our special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you by the Department of Veterans Affairs, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and Federal Premium Ammunition. Hope you've enjoyed it so far, and are looking forward to a big bang-up third hour when we have the Adjutant General on the show to join us.